Okay, well, welcome everybody. This is a very special episode. This is episode 20 of Playing with Perspective, the Suspended Animation Podcast. And fittingly so, I'm going to kind of go back to my roots in this episode. Now, I have a very, very special guest. Her name is Sharon Hickey from the Aperture Club. And for everybody out there who doesn't know, I'm also one of the tutors at the Aperture Club. I'm a photographer and photography tutor, and I've known Sharon for probably about 3 or 4 years, maybe a little bit longer. So it's a very, very fitting that this episode is episode 20, and it's with Sharon from the Aperture Club and taking my back to my roots as a photographer. So Sharon Hickey is a very creative and talented photographer and teacher. She's also a very successful businesswoman and entrepreneur. Sharon is constantly working on multiple projects and initiatives and seems to manage and execute them all with ease. So the topic of today is going to be how to be creative and innovative in the toughest of times. So welcome, Sharon.
Hello, Darren.
How are you?
Thanks for having me on your podcast. I'm very pleased and excited.
My pleasure. It's always a pleasure to speak to you, and I'm so glad that you can make it on my number 20.
And number 20, I think that's a good omen.
Yes, absolutely. I agree.
2020 and everything else is fabulous.
Absolutely. So I thought before we kind of get into more detail, maybe you can tell us a bit about you and your journey and tell us more about Sharon Hickey.
Wow. Hey, that's a big question. I've been around a little bit, but I'll keep it short. Okay, so my background, I've always been in the creative industry, and my background started in television back in my 20s. So I worked at Channel 7 for many years as a vision mixer. I also worked in production and ran location businesses and worked at also Channel 10 and various other media outlets. Yeah. I suppose working in television was really exciting for me because it was a brand new world that I didn't know existed, and I was just constantly amazed by the amount of creativity that each person within a television station emanated in one way or another, whether they were working in the production team or their actors or their newsreaders or their crew.
Wow.
So, you know, it was a really exciting time. Made some fabulous friends and gained a lot of really valuable experience doing that. But what led me actually into photography, into stills, is I actually obtained a job at Channel 7 in the stills department, which was very exciting because I'd been using my camera on documentary series. I worked with Mike Willacy for a 30-part documentary series where we travelled around and did the first Survivor series.
Wow.
It wasn't really Ooh. Survivor, but then it was, but it kind of led into that sort of genre of television.
Yep.
And so we were stuck on desert islands running. In those days, I used to have to change 35mm film.
Wow.
In your film with black bags and
yep.
dig in the trenches and sort of change roles, you know, quickly.
Yeah, it was all in the days of analog photography back then.
It was really all analog photography. And so that was great. So I was Channel 7 CEO put me through a course at the Film and Television School to learn all about 35 and 16mm camera assisting. And so, which is why I got jobs doing being part of all those documentary teams. So that was really fun. So I did that for a few years, and then I had an opportunity to run a location search business that I worked for this woman who, you know, was looking for someone. She said, Carl, come along. And in those days, we were all freelancers. So people always, it's a freelance world. Nowadays, people go, it's interesting because now everyone's having to be a freelancer.
That's right. But
I've spent my whole life doing it, so it's kind of easy. And so I had to really use my camera because we had to go and search for locations for films and television series and work with overseas directors and producers from New York and Europe. And, you know, they always wanted to reproduce Europe or New York in Sydney, which was really challenging. So the whole thing was sort of, it was interesting. But exciting, because I had to really think, how am I going to make a photograph appear as the imagination of the director or the producer? So, you know, I really had to go and learn a lot and practice myself. So it was challenging. But finally, for some reason, I was quite good at it. And when the lady who ran it, Bev, decided to leave, she sort of offered me the business and I took it.
Yeah.
And so I ran that business as my own business for like 3 years, but it was so fun. I think there's a real knack in being a location scout in a way, because, you know, you have to, there's multitudes of observations that you have to be aware of, not just the creative elements, but you have to be the practical elements of, you know, where you're going to put 50 crew.
It's quite logistical as well. You have to really be good at logistics.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so, you know, you can't pick places that got huge telegraph poles or wires in front of them, even though it's the perfect location. So anyway, to cut a long story short, I was working 7 days a week.
Wow.
You know, 16 hours a day. I went, in the end I burnt out and just decided to become a stills photographer.
Gotcha.
That had its own challenges, of course, you know, just because one decides to become a stills photographer doesn't mean you automatically become one.
Yes.
You have to put in the hard work and the yards and work 50,000 jobs for nothing.
Yeah, build the relationships.
Build your relationships. Work hard, do things for not much money. The whole thing. But eventually it pays off.
Yep.
If anyone out there thinking of becoming a photographer, that's probably one of the first things I'd say. You know, apart from honing your skills and getting yourself up to speed, more than important than anything is to really form good relationships. Good relationships with clients, yep. Service them, do anything for them.
Yep.
Well, you know what I mean, but job, you know, like... Make sure it's always that, you know, the job is the most important thing.
Yeah.
You know, go that extra mile, you know, and people will hire you again.
Yeah.
In as good as your last job. So over the years, you build up your repertoire of people that like to work with you and like your style, and then you become on the road to success, I suppose, if you want to look at it, success as whatever that is.
That's right.
This has a lot of different layers and meanings.
Definitely, definitely.
But for me, it's just having the opportunity to be employed a lot.
Yeah.
Without having to put too much effort into it. Yeah. You know, and now, because I have returned business. So yeah, that's exactly. Really good. So
a lot of people say that the journey is the success, just being able to stay in the game and be a photographer and stay on that journey is success already.
That's exactly right. You know, and that's exactly it. So it's whatever you want it to be, you know. Some people, you know, want to do that. You know, some people just want to do it part-time. Some people want to be wildlife photographers or sports photographers. And that's what I do think, though, if people do know what area they want to be, where they want to put their, move towards, it's always better to specialise in an area.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah. And so you've been obviously photographing for a long time, got a lot of great relationships, done all sorts of different photography.
Yeah.
What brought you to start the Aperture Club? How did you give birth to the Aperture Club?
Well, probably about 20 years ago, I had a group of women, actually. They were all women. And we called that, they were bushwalkers, and they that's what it started, and they wanted to learn photography. And I'd run a couple of, my friends who ran it said, oh, come along. And so I started running, I ran a couple of the walks, and all aimed at, you know, using a camera and teaching about photography. And they loved it so much, they wanted to continue. And then so this group evolved, and then more people came into it. And we're like, I took on the teacher role and more seriously, and then had them for about 5 years.
Wow.
At that point, you know, that was a beautiful journey with them, because I just saw everybody progress well, you know, like they started out not really knowing anything about photography to developing their own insights of their personal, for about their personal work or what they wanted to achieve through it. And we had lots of exhibitions, and the journey took them through into being quite good photographers in their own right. That was really exciting. Except we got to be too good of friends after 5 years, and I had to say, let's go, don't do any more wipe on, wipe offs, and go and find other.
Okay. Are you still in contact with those people?
Yeah, absolutely. And after that, I also started working for Imaginative Traveller on a couple of, just to run tours, photographic tours,
right,
India to Rajasthan.
Wow.
So that was really fun. Go off adventuring amongst the wild tigers.
Oh my God.
Yeah. If you were lucky to see a tiger. But that was really exciting because going away and spending concentrated period of time with people that really want to learn is just a joy all round, because yes, you know, you can live and breathe photography, especially if it's only the participants doing the photography.
Yep.
And they don't have to worry about anyone else, which they all seem to be just single photographers.
Right. Yeah.
So it was really great. You know, we just had a very immersive time when we did that. So then I came back, and that whole industry changed, and I just went on doing my work. And I've always had in the back of my mind that I loved teaching, and I wanted to actually, I always thought it would be just nice to have run workshops again.
Yep.
And then I kind of decided to start the Aperture Club, which, you know, and anyway, through one thing or another, my dream happened.
Brilliant.
That was about 8 years ago now.
Wow.
It conceptualized, and, you know, it's, I always had it as a slow grow, you know, so that it moved at a good slow rate.
Yep.
And now I suppose we've done really well considering, because now it's, well, it was until
that's right,
viral mishap.
Yes.
The economy stopped and the world became a science fiction movie.
Yep. Love it.
It was going really well.
Yeah, excellent.
So, you know, we're running, you know, 10 workshops a month and more, and we were doing masterclasses in different areas to give up and coming, you know, serious up and coming photographers the opportunity to gain a work experience really in the area of choice, where they could build up their own portfolio, have a real job, use it, you know, maybe then afterwards to move on and get other work. And we've also, you know, we've got lots of things and always in the pipeline. I was arranging another trip to India actually.
Yeah.
Might have to postpone that one free.
And we have a social night. And we have a social night and a group once a month as well.
That's been running now. This is its third year for that.
Well,
started off as just, we called it Social Night. Now it's called In Focus.
Yep.
Creative Night, I suppose, or Ongoing Learning, where, because I think that is important, because apart from the workshops, that gives the people who want to, it gives another layer to learning, because, you know, you get to work with a whole lot of the same people. And one night a week, we do a lot of critiquing of work so that people get to, you know, get some feedback about where they're going. You know, sometimes we all need that. We all take shots, and sometimes we're really happy. We want to hear how that other people are happy with it, or we might be feeling a little bit uneasy with a shot. Why? You're too close to it. So having that opportunity to be critiqued is kind of very, very, a very good thing, because it gives you another insight into what you're doing and hearing from other people.
Definitely. And I might jump in and say as well, I mean, for me, photography is for everybody, it's a lifelong journey. It's a lifelong practice. We're all continuously learning. There are always a million different genres in photography, and even moving from one genre to another requires a whole new a whole new skill set, a whole new way of thinking, and we can always learn from each other.
And, you know, that's exactly right. You know, it is a lifelong journey.
Definitely.
You know, when people start to find it, that's the most exciting thing, because if that's where they feel that they're getting a lot of, you know, pins and needles every time they take that fabulous photograph, it is a bit of, it's for them.
Definitely.
Yeah, you know, it's their journey then. And I think helping them along on that, getting them up to speed and feeling confident in it, because, you know, it is a little bit of an introverted area sometimes.
It is.
But that's what's so lovely in a very busy world, to be introspective about what you're doing, what you're seeing. You know, there's so many different areas of photography that you can put your energies into, whether you want to become an art photographer or, you know, a macro photographer, a street photographer. Whatever it is there's a gamut of learning there.
And there's a genre for everybody, you know.
Absolutely. So that's been, you know, it's my passion, really. You know, the Aperture Club's been my passion, and I love it. And, you know, it's where I, you know, will be when I can't run the streets anymore with my career over mountaintops and things like that.
And really, photography, even the Aperture Club for me, has been an amazing introduction into teaching and the whole world of teaching and giving knowledge and giving experience. And it's been incredibly nourishing and fulfilling for me, because I never thought I would be teaching, but I just love it, and I get so much back when I teach a class. And I think it's just an amazing experience.
Well, yeah, it is an amazing experience, because, you know, and that says a lot about you too, you know, because, and you know what, Darren, you're a very good teacher.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, but you are, you know, like, you get a lot of good, you know, everyone raves about you and you get great results, but you can tell that you're good because you love what you do.
Yeah.
And that's what, I think that's what we do with the Aperture Club. You know, I love our team.
Yep.
We have the best team because everyone's passionate about photography and they're wonderful people, and, you know, like, and that's very exciting, you know.
Absolutely. It's half the battle won when you have a team that's that cohesive and passionate, and we're all out there for each other and we just have so much fun. It's not like going to work. It's just going to have fun.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. You know, and I think everyone else likes that when they come on workshops with us, because, you know, really, apart from, you know, we love doing it, we give 200%.
Absolutely.
And I think, and I think that's why, you know, we've been going so long, and hopefully we'll go forever more if, as long as we keep producing, you know, top quality information and, you know, anyway, we love giving away our expertise and sharing.
Definitely. And it kind of brings us to kind of where we are now. I mean, obviously, things have changed. Everything has dramatically changed. But you've been extremely innovative and creative in what you're about to launch, or what you've just launched, as a new line for the Aperture Club. So I wanted to chat about that.
Well, you know, who ever would have thought, you know, mind you, we've had fires, droughts, fires.
Yep.
I'm sure there was a lotus plague I read about somewhere.
Yep.
You know, now we've got virus, which is a war on itself, isn't it? Like, so what do? You can't do anything. I think everyone's confined to their homes, they're stuck there. You've got to make the best of it. You know, we run outside courses, but we don't have to run outside courses. I thought, why not put everything online? Why don't we stream the same thing, the same passion that we have when we take people outside? We will do it inside.
Absolutely.
In their own home. Doesn't mean people can't use or utilize the camera as we're doing this, because, you know, as we're running courses, they can. This is absolutely what they can do.
Yeah.
And I just thought, you know, you can sit back and wait and, you know, but, you know, this is a time when I think people need us more than anything.
Agree. You know,
if that's where they've been thinking about going, you know, at least they can still do it. I was trying to work out what is good information for everybody stuck at home that they can do easily. And so firstly, we put two people up, the one-on-ones. You know, I could talk to you with my camera, you could talk to me, we could go through everything. By the end of the session of an hour, I'd be really enlightened.
Yep.
Right? And I thought, well, that's a one-on-one session. That is a private session. Why not do that?
Absolutely.
Same with Lightroom. We can use the technology that we all have at the moment. It's pretty spectacular. You know, you can share your screen with me and I can see exactly what you're doing on a Lightroom and post-production situation. And so that's perfect for one-on-one.
Yep.
The other thing I thought, you know, it's one good thing to have one-on-ones, but let's do a little bit of continuous education, which we haven't run the 4-week course before, because all our courses have a logical progression. Sorry, so you know, if you do these the beginner's essentials, you automatically the next logical one to do would be the manual. The next logical one would be the flash.
Yep.
The next logical one, you know, would be post-production. Then you'd move into the creative areas.
Yep.
Where it could have been street or portrait or a gamut of other things. But this one, this 4-week course, which is going to be online, I thought it's going to be great because we can cover still for the beginners, their camera, how to use it, go over it, look at the manual settings, get them to do exercises, lock them in those little Zoom rooms.
Yeah, we can do breakout rooms and split people up, and you know, it's incredible technology.
Yeah. And then we're going to get really involved in composition, and then the last week will be all about workflow, how to really organize your images correctly, and with good practice that will set you up for a lifetime of photo taking.
Yep.
So I thought that's a really, as a sort of fundamentals package, that's a really nice sort of 2 hours a week for 4 weeks is something that can fill up the next month. Exercises will put assignments and set, you know, tasks during that
good.
In your own environment. You don't have to go outside. And, you know, people have that. It's actually more challenging and actually quite a bit more exciting to have to do it in space.
And what I love about that course as well is that we'll have a range of different teachers on those classes. You won't just be always with the same teacher.
So people will get the experience and know-how of two or three other teachers on that. Hopefully three, as long as everyone's well. By having different people give you information, that expands your knowledge base, gives you new ideas about how to approach something.
Yep.
You know, so I think it'll be really exciting. A smartphone, iPhone, smartphone. Of course, it's a good way to understand your phone, but then go into the apps and then go into the sort of the back end and all the apps that were available.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I've just put those. And then the other thing we're putting on to keep people interested is we'll get some speakers.
Right, yep.
And we'll do some, you know, we'll get people to talk about different interesting topics that people might be interested in as well. So hopefully we didn't want to just lock up the doors and wait for the end. It's not about, you know, we're not even about making money, because you can't make, I don't think, that much money online. It's about giving people, you know, focus, keeping people, you know, everybody, the tutors employed. Like just keeping everything rolling over. Yeah. And I think, absolutely, you know, if we can do that in times of crisis, because, you know, I'm purposely, you know, when I go and buy coffee, I go to the local shop. I don't go to Woolworths. I go to the local shop to buy my groceries to support them.
Yep.
To buy my coffee from running, like an umbrella over my head. To get It's about supporting the people that are there to support everybody else. So that's why I thought, oh, well.
I think it's absolutely brilliant. And I think it's a real testament to your creativity and innovative thinking as a director and founder of the organization, because everybody's now jumping online. We're all doing stuff virtually. So, you know, who would have thought, why not do photography online as well? Why not?
Well, that's right. You know, and, you know, last year we ran, we had our first national photo competition.
Ah, yes, of course.
Bendigo Bank, yep. They're our sponsor. Sun Studios, Photoshop Studios. We've got a lot of great people behind us. And initially I thought, oh, no, now that we've got the coronavirus, what are we going to do? And I thought, oh, it's perfect. Not perfect, don't get me wrong. I don't mean it like that. But being inside, you can still explore yourselves and you can explore, you know, still produce work for a competition.
Definitely.
But you've got more time and more focus to do that.
That's right.
It also fits in with our topic, which is a sense of place.
Yep.
So everybody, it'll even be more challenging because the sense of place will be, it could be about your environment, could be about someone else's environment.
Yep.
So it could be what you see out the window. So it could be it'll be quite interesting times to see. Yeah. I'm still running it this year. We're putting it on.
Great.
Here and then we'll announce it.
Mm. Why not? And what I love as well is that the fact that people that previously might not have been able to access some classes and courses, if they were interstate or for whatever reason they couldn't travel, they can now. So it's actually opened up access to learning for a whole new demographic.
That's right, because we'll put this out nationally, because why not?
Yep.
People can do it wherever they are, as long as they're sitting at home.
Just need an internet connection and a screen.
They can learn. Whoever's putting on podcasts and or training, you know, like it's a good opportunity.
Yeah,
to really develop your skills while we're having to be isolating. Mm.
And so, when everything starts to come back to normal, do you see running everything in tandem, the virtual and the in-person classes?
Well, you know, we'll see how it goes. If everybody becomes excited about virtual classes, I'd be very excited too to keep them running.
Yeah,
absolutely. I think there's an absolute place for it. And it's good for us because, you know, it's something in the, you know, I was all, as I said to you before, with the 4-weeker, which the next one I might make a 6-week or whatever. But I thought, you know, I've always wanted to create course structures. But it's not where we did with the live courses. But with virtual training, we can certainly do that. And I think it's a really efficient way of doing it, you know. Even though we've had to do it in a funny way, I think it's going to be an enlightening way in the future, in the big picture of where everyone's going. Even when it's recovered, even when everyone's recovered, I'm sure that using this sort of technology, and it'll grow and develop, of course, the technology, will just open up lots of avenues for people to be producing, because we're not all going to get back on the track in the future in a month.
That's right.
It's probably going to take everybody, you know, economically a year or more to kind of find their footing or find new jobs and get back into the swing of workplace again.
I agree. And I think that this time has now forced people to embrace this new technology and this new way of working. So it'll start changing behavior. And in the future, this will be a very legitimate source of knowledge and source of learning. So why not?
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we took it. It's a challenge.
So
it's a challenge rewriting. We've rewritten our programs. We've worked very hard over the last couple of weeks to redefine how the difference between working outside to doing virtual virtual teaching. We've done it, and I think it's really great. I think I'm very happy with it. I think, it's good. I think the more we can put out there to support people, I think, and if people have interest in different areas that we can offer. And I think,
Fantastic. And so that's a bit of a call out for the audience, all the viewers and listeners out there. If you are interested in photography and you want to learn, jump on the website, have a look what's there. If there's something that you would like to learn that's not on there, please give Sharon a ring or send Sharon an email or send me an email and let us know what you'd like us to put on for you, because, you know, we can create anything.
Well, that's exactly right. Yep. And, you know, we have moved in, we've also moved into the Aperture Club over the last couple of years into corporate training.
Yep.
So we teach a lot of corporate businesses and marketing departments. Again, it's a unique time, for people to learn perhaps how photography can enhance their workplace skill sets, especially in social media and marketing areas, or, you know, product areas for small business. So, if you know, a lot of business come to us, small businesses come to us because they want to know studio lighting, you know, how to do product photography. So we have a lot of skill sets we can pass on to people.
I think it's fantastic, and I'm really looking forward to being involved with the new classes and the new virtual online experience. I can't wait.
No, well, I can't either, and it's really great. I think we're going to have a good year together producing all this great programming.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I want to ask you as well, how do you maintain and juggle all these things at the same time? Like, particularly before, when you were photographing and running courses and writing notes and teaching, how do you juggle all this stuff?
And just keep going, you know, you just have to just do it.
Yep. Just get it done.
Obviously my corporate and event photography has ceased at the moment because that's the way for everybody. But before that, it was like working long hours. My work day starts very early in the morning. I'm up like at it by 6 a.m.
Yep.
And I probably don't finish, you know, I might take it off from 7 to 9, but really there I am again at the end of the night, catching up on everyone's emails, writing. You just have to, but it's really important to have a sort of structure if you can about, you know, how you do your day. The worst thing is when you get a lot of professional photography jobs in, which is always good.
Pays the bills, of course.
It's time consuming because you've always got deadlines.
And you've got to deliver those very, very high quality products very quickly.
Yeah, that's right.
Get everything else in around it. I know.
You know, I discovered that my best time to write for me is in the mornings.
Okay. Yep, me too.
So I like writing in the morning. I have a good flow happening then. So I tend to do anything like, you know, put proposals together, product. I try to do it, you know, from 6 a.m. till 10 a.m.
Right, wow.
And do that before I move on to the next thing.
Yep.
If I fail at that, then it's probably at night. Depending, I'm not too bad.
The life of an entrepreneur.
Well, you just got to be in there.
Just got to do it. Find the time and get it done.
But I think when you're working for yourself, there's no one else to tell you, you know, there's no one else you have to answer to, really, except for the people who work with you, you know, like, and your clients, you know, like for me, either Mike, with the Aperture Club, I'm talking about people who participate in the courses. So I'm working for them, working for, you know, everybody who works for me and all the tutors. I don't want to let anyone down. I want to produce the best. And I think when it's your own, it's exciting. Business, having your own business is an exciting avenue. You know, I love it.
Yep.
I don't mind the hard work. To me, it's always offering new opportunities, and I'm meeting so many different people.
Yep.
And it's, I get rung out of the blue, and there's someone wants a meeting, you go to that meeting, and that more doorways open. Like, and it's sort of like, oh wow, guys, guess what? We've got this happening, and another area opens up, and so it's quite fun. But the next thing I want to thinking that I want to actually put out a video components.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Video training in different areas.
Fantastic.
In both, smartphone and DSLR.
Wow.
Work, and yeah.
Great. I'll do one of those courses for sure.
Well, yeah, we'll do complete courses in how to do blogs, how to put, promotional videos together for your own businesses, all the way to learning skill sets about how you can make even short films and documentaries.
Fantastic. And the technology is here now. We have it all.
We have it all.
We have it all in our hand.
Exactly.
It's unbelievable what you can achieve with a simple smartphone and maybe a gimbal.
Well, yeah, once you master the gimbal.
Yep. Gimbal's not so easy.
The hardest thing, but once you master it,
yep. That's
good.
Absolutely. And have you got any advice, Sharon, for up-and-coming photographers, budding photographers? Any advice for them in terms of how to get into the industry or how to learn? Where should they spend their time and money initially when they want to break into working as a photographer?
I think I think it's really important to latch on to other working photographers, right? If you can get to work with photographers and learn as much as you can, and I said this comes down to the old way of getting as much information as you can.
Yep.
Because that's how you learn. You know, even if you've gone and done a four-year course at TAFE or university or where, or the art school, that's great doing courses. Courses are really valuable. They're great for your mind to be more imaginative. But actually, when it comes down to real-life working situations, the only thing that's going to help you is experience.
Gotcha, yeah. So for juniors, maybe assist as well, while you're working and building your own, start assisting.
Yeah, work for nothing, then get paid. You know, whatever it is, assisting is really valuable. If you can assist with lots of different people or a few different, they're all going to have a different way. Every photographer has a different way of photographing because they've got a particular style and they've got a particular methodology. And that's why certain clients would choose different photographers to work, to do their job. So, by putting yourself out there, I think that's great. The other thing is you have to want to be a photographer.
Yep.
If that's what you really, really want more than anything else in the world, and you're prepared to give, 150% of your time to do it, you will become a photographer.
Right.
But you have to give it all you've got, and it's hard. It's a really hard slog.
Yep. But it's competitive these days. Very competitive. You can't
be a photographer in a year.
Yep. No way.
No one can be. Not really. Not you. Right. You have to be prepared to go on the journey, and if you're prepared to do that, and it's going to be hard at times, but keep the vision.
Yep.
Keep that focus of the distant hills there with the sun. That's where you're going to be in a pot of gold. Well, not so really pot of gold. I don't think there's any pot of gold. But you just got to keep the focus. And I think, that's how you do it. As I said, do things and build up your resources and build up your communication and your relationships. Honestly, it's the way to do it. Dedication and relationship building, I think.
Definitely.
And being reliable.
Yep, that's huge.
And being a sort of person, Sure, is willing to think of other ways when, you know, a client doesn't want that or doesn't like that.
Yeah.
Look, you know, be flexible. You know, I think that's important as well. Big long track, big long trip, but worth it, because in photography, as we said before, you never stop learning. And you know, if I thought, you know, I've been working over 30 years as a photographer, if I thought I knew it all, then why would I do it anymore? Right? The thing is, I don't know it all, because I can walk into a situation and I have to problem solve a particular lighting situation or a particular situation or some bizarre concept someone else wants me to reproduce.
Yeah, or your gear, or something happens to your gear, it's all of a sudden, or something happens.
What happens? Like, and that's what's exciting, because, you know, your mind's working, your creativity's working, and every time you come back from a job and you go, wow, you know, that's something else that you've put up on your notch. You know, so I think being open to the fact that you have a lifetime of learning, and, you know, everything presents new, something new to experience, then I think, yeah, that's what I love about it anyway.
Oh, I totally agree. Like, photography to me is a vehicle that takes you to see things and experience things that you would not normally ever get access to.
Exactly.
The camera gives you that license to go into all these places that you would never normally have access to. And you meet so many interesting people and see all these worlds that are before unknown to you. So it's a never ending red carpet.
That's exactly right. Yep. It's very exciting. And then, you know, also it's about, you know, the connection, I think, you know, with between you and a landscape or a person or society or the world in whichever way that is. And, you know, as a confident photographer, you become in a way many times the artist. And by doing that, you know, you actually can allow, once you train your imagination to move into different areas, you can produce amazingly unique work for yourself. So, you know, that's the other thing I like. You know, if you can go and you can come up with some idea that's quite bizarre and make it happen, and you look at the work and go, wow, I never thought I would do that.
Yep, it's incredible. And it's very rewarding.
That's why I like working with, you know, actors and dancers.
Yep.
Because, you know, they're open to going into bizarre situations and helping you create work, create, you know, art.
Yep.
And so it's, yeah, so there's all sorts of different things you can do.
And it's kind of like that for me with teaching. When I teach and I see that light bulb moment go off in a student, that's very rewarding, because, now I understand it. Sometimes the concepts click at different times for different people. And when you see that light bulb go off, you go, that's made it all worthwhile.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. And that's, and I suppose that sums it up really well, because that is, you know, what makes you get up the next morning and go to the next class, because of the excitement or that someone else has experienced in just getting something or seeing the possibility.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Well, Shaz, thank you so much. That was very, very, very insightful. And, you know, we discussed a lot of stuff. We discussed your background as a photographer and how you started the Aperture Club. And for everybody out there, we're going to launch a whole new range of live online events. So please check out our website. And if you have any questions about anything, give Sharon a ring or send an email. Or if there's any particular course that you'd like her to develop for you, or even a private tuition, please let her know. She'd love to. And we've dived into a little bit of the psychology and of the learning of photography and why, you know, what kind of tips and tricks and strategies Sharon can pass on after her many years of experience to budding photographers out there. So I hope that everybody got loads and loads of stuff out there from that. Is there anything that you wanted to add before we finish up?
No, I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. It was a really lovely conversation. I learned some things that I hadn't learned, and I've Known you for 4 or 5 years.
Oh, there you go.
And I also just wanted to say, Shaz, that in that 4 or 5 years, I really thank you for being such a great teacher, a great leader, and a great colleague, because it's really been a pleasure to work with you. And the culture of the Aperture Club is something that, you know, I really am very fond of. And I think that's really what is our strength, is who we are as a team. And I think that's really beautiful.
Well, thank you very much. And, you know, it is like we have got a great team. And I think for me, you summed it up really well, because the culture is very important and special.
Yeah, that's who we are.
Isn't it? It's good.
Absolutely. So, so thank you again, Sharon. Thanks for being my 20th guest.
Oh, I'm very excited about that.
I'm very happy about that.
I like it.
It's a sign.
Yeah. What's that?
It's an omen. It's a sign.
That's right. What happens on the 50th and the 100th?
Right. Yeah, who knows? Onwards and upwards.
Onwards.
Thank you very much again for coming on the show. And to all the guests out there, please, we'd love to see you in one of our classes, or just check out our anything else that Sharon has to offer. And we'll see you very, very soon for our next episode.
Thank you. See ya.